Let us pray.
Lord, this morning we come to you. Lord, may you give us a heart, a desire to be purified by you and to be like you, so that we can be transformed by you and be attracted by you and to set our path for you, to serve you and follow you. Lord, we pray that, Lord, as we read your scripture, you speak to us through your words. We pray that, Lord, you surpass all our limitation of the speakers and the listeners, so that this time can be useful in your hands. Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning, I would like to speak on a short passage in the Gospel of Mark. That is Mark chapter 9, verse 49 to 50. Let me read in ESV version. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. These two verses form the last subsection of Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 50. The background of Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 50 is that Jesus started to reveal himself, his identity to his disciples, that he is the Christ. The English word Christ is the transliteration of the original New Testament Greek word Christos, which literally means the anointed one. He is the glorious and mighty King, expected to be anointed and sent by God in the Old Testament. The role and responsibility of this anointed king is to be the savior and ruler over Jewish people and the whole world. Jesus told the disciples he is the Christ whom all the Israelites were long waiting for. However, at that time Jesus also told the disciples that in order to fulfill God's will on him, as the reigning and glorious Christ, he had to go through suffering and rejection from religious leaders till death, and then resurrected 3 days later. Jesus is willing to go through the cross of suffering in order to find resurrection and glory on behalf of us. The disciples couldn't take these hard words. Can we? All these are the background of Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 50. Recently, I have been speaking on Mark of this session, chapter 9, 30 to 50, at Calaville. The overall theme I gave to this session is true greatness and the pathway to it. I have split Mark chapter 9, 30 to 50 into four subsessions. I've used three times at Calaville to speak on the first three subsessions, from verse 30 to 48. I would like to continue and finish the last subsession, which is the one we have just read, verse 49 to 50 today. In the first subsession of verse 30 to 37, Jesus talked about what is true greatness and the way to true greatness. True greatness is to be last of all and servant of all. The way to true greatness is to serve others' needs before our own needs. In the second subsection of verse 38 to 42 told us that the name of Jesus is the scope of fellowship and co-working. Doing a small service to someone belonging to Christ will surely not lose its reward. Causing a young believer to sin will receive severe punishment. In the third succession, verse 43 to 48, Jesus told us that to avoid sinning at all earthly costs, because the severe punishment and consequence of sin is hell, which everyone should avoid at any cost. Having the above context, this morning I would like to look at the last succession, which is verse 49 to 50. I would like to give these verses the theme, have salt in yourself. I would like to look at this theme in three main points. The first, everyone will be salted with fire, Christians or non-Christians. Number two, Christians have salt in yourselves and be willing to be salted. Number three, have peace with one another. Let us look at the first point from verse 49. Everyone will be salted with fire, Christian or non-Christians, whether we like it or not. In verse 49, who are the everyone? Everyone is everyone, no matter they are unbeliever or believers. Firstly, every unbeliever will be salted with fire. The fire is the fire of hell, mentioned by Jesus in the previous session, verse 43 to 48. In hell, the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. This is what Jesus said in verse 48. Many people wish there is no hell. Because if there is no hell, there is no judgment after death. Then anyone can do whatever things he or she wants. As long as they are strong and powerful, they can bully and cause harm to the weak one as they desire. Like the many numerous cruel dictators, rule their countries with iron fists and nasty measures. Like Adolf Hitler of Germany, Joseph Stalin of the old Soviet Union, or Pol Pot of Cambodia. They can kill anyone they don't like, including their enemies or potential enemies. Like in the animal world, it is the survival for the fittest. This is the world where people live, if they live as if there is no hell. They don't believe there's hell and there's God's judgment after death. That's why they can sin so whatever things they want. Many people wish there's no hell so that everyone can be happy at what they are doing today. As long as they want to, they can do it. That's why they try to convince themselves to think that there is no hell. Just like thieves wish there is no prison or no policeman. Since they think that there is no hell, no need for them to worry about God's judgment in the future after this life. As long as they have fun or feel comfortable today, we are fine, they think that. We can do whatever things we like today as long as these things doesn't cause us problems or pain. It's okay even we do bad things which we shouldn't do, as long as we do it in our own room and no one else knows about it. As long as we do it in the dark and no one else sees it. Even as long as I do it on my iPad or smartphone, and we can delete it afterwards. Someone might say, Christians shouldn't talk about hell, because the existence of hell itself is already too cruel and unloving. This is actually the lie of Satan, saying there is no hell. Satan's own destination is hell of eternal fire. He wants as many people go to hell with him as possible. That's why they blind the eyes of man to think that there is no hell, so they can follow Satan and sin. Do you know that who is in the New Testament talked about hell the most? Jesus. He spoke of hell more than anyone in the Bible. In the New Testament, the word hell appears 13 times. 11 times are of Jesus saying. Jesus, who is full of love and grace, he is also full of truth. Jesus knows about the horror of hell so clearly. Although it is hard saying, he needed to speak of hell frequently and loudly to warn people to run away from hell. It is because Jesus loved man so much. Not only talk about hell, Jesus was willing to pay a costly price to be crucified on the cross in order to save man from hell. Today, if anyone hasn't believed in Jesus yet, please go to Jesus to receive him to be your Savior, so that your sin can be forgiven and you can follow him as your King as soon as possible. This is a loving warning from Jesus. We don't know when we have opportunity to make decision to follow Jesus. We don't know when our lives end. But we need to take the opportunity as soon as possible to believe in Jesus. A few days ago, a mother and daughter, aged 84 and 54, they died on the road in South Australia in a car accident. When we die, we might not have another chance to believe in Jesus, to be saved from sin and hell anymore. That's why Jesus said, everyone will be sorted with fire. That everyone, include non-believers. But on the other hand, the word everyone refers to believers as well. That means every believer will be sorted with fire. The fire with which believers to be sorted, obviously, is not the fire of hell or punishment. Because all the sins of believers have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus on the cross, and no more punishment. The fire with which believers to be sorted refers to the fire of hardship or suffering. This suffering of hardship is not punishment for their sins. They are the loving discipline or training from God. The purpose is to purify God's children, to transform and perfect them, to sanctify them, to make them holy. This is the fire mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 9. About this fire, the Apostle Peter said in verse 3 to 5 in the ESV version, "Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. From verse 3, we see that this fire is for every believer. That is, those God caused them to be born again. In verse 4, every born-again child of God is promised by God an inheritance, imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for them. Not only God promised each of his children this precious inheritance. In verse 5, God also promised to guard them with his power through our continuous faith in him, so that they are able, his children are able to receive the inheritance in the last time. And then Peter continue in verse 6 to 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. With a glorious hope of inheritance in verse 3 and 5, Peter said that our faith needs to be trialed and tested by fire, and be refined and purified. In the time of trial and testing, it can be painful and suffering loss. Sometimes it might cause us to forfeit things precious to us, even like hand, foot, or eye. We may be grieved by various trials. However, we can still have the hope of the genuineness and preciousness of our faith, which may result in praise, honor, and glory to God, because of loving Jesus, whom we haven't yet seen him face to face. We may still be rejoiced with joy inexpressible and full of glory. The Lord, who loves us, allows us to face the fire of hardship and trials come upon us. Sometimes this fire might be discipline, which relates to our foolishness or sins. But the purpose is for loving discipline, but not for punishment, because all our punishment has been already been borne by Jesus on the cross. The purpose of discipline is for our benefit, that we may be partaker of his holiness, as mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12. Sometimes the fire of hardship and trials is not because we have done anything wrong, but rather, because God is pleased with us, pleased with our relationship with him, and he finds that we are ready for more blessings of training and purifying process to refine and enlarge us. Like Job, the servant of God, God allowed fire of trial to come upon him. It is not because Job has done anything wrong, but because he's very precious and pleased in God's eyes. God loved him and allowed him to face fire of trial, sought him, in order to enlarge him and prepare him with greater blessings and glory. Because God wants Christians to be like Christ, to partake the holiness and riches of Christ, God will make Christians to be sorted with fire of hardship and suffering. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it said, strengthening the souls of the disciples, talking about Paul and his company, strengthen the souls of the disciples, encourage them, the newly believed, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The tribulation is planned for good and not for evil. As God said to his disciple, said to his people in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God said, at that time God told his people in the Old Testament through Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The same. Today, God told us, Jesus' disciples, the plan he has for us is for welfare, not for evil, even though there can be hardship and suffering. After looking at everyone will be sorted with fire, whether non-Christian or Christian, let's move to the second point. That is, Christians have sought in your heart, in yourselves, and be willing to be sorted. In verse 50, the first part, in Mark chapter 9, it said, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves. Yes, salt is good. Salt has the preserving power. It can preserve food not to decay. It can protect us from infection. When we have like sore ache or inflammation, we usually gargle salty water, trying to heal it or stop it getting worse. When the Welsh revival broke out in November 1904, in South Wales, more than 80,000 people were converted in the first few months. The saltiness of Christians at that time transformed the whole community. A Christian historian said, people were changed in so many ways. The crime rate dropped, drunken were reformed, pubs reported losses in trade, bad language disappeared and never returned to the lips of many. It was reported that the pit ponies, small horses in the coal mine, failed to understand their born-again colliers, coal mine workers, who seemed to speak the new language of Zion, without curse and blasphemy. Even football and rugby became uninteresting in the light of new joy and direction received by the converts. Jesus said, have salt in yourselves. God expects Christians to be blessing of saltiness of to people around them by bringing a purifying and preserving impact to them. Christians should have good witness to people around and bring the gospel to them so that they can be converted to Christ from corruption. Their lives can be preserved from being perished in their sins. However, Christians can lose their saltiness. Jesus said, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Christians without saltiness have lost their effectiveness as Christians. Do you have saltiness? Do you have salt in yourselves? Or do you have lost your saltiness? Instead of bringing Jesus and gospel to non-Christians around you with a purifying and preserving power, are you or are we contaminated and influenced by them and lost our saltiness? Originally, salt is sodium chloride, which can't lose its saltiness. However, in the old days when salt was taken from the Dead Sea, they were mixed with impurities such as gypsum, which looks like salt. In the presence of water or humidity, gypsum can react chemically with salt to destroy the salt and hence its saltiness. Once the salt is destroyed, it is very hard to make it salted again. Why Christian can lose his saltiness? It is because of the impurities in their hearts and lives. Those impurities hinder them to live out the purifying power and preserving impact to people around them. After Christians receive a new life from God when they believe in Jesus, it is possible for them to choose to continue to live by their old self, the old self-centered self, instead of the new life received. Just like the disciples arguing who was the greatest in the early session of Mark chapter 9, 30-37. This impurity of selfish ambition and pride need to be refined and transformed into true greatness to serve others in humility, including serving the insignificant ones. How about John and other disciples forbade other people casting out demons in the name of Jesus, mentioned in Mark chapter 9, verse 38 and 42? They denied other people's ministry and exclude them from fellowship only because these people are not with them. These are impurities of exclusiveness and sectarianism. The same pride and self-centeredness from our old self can cause other people to stumble or sin, including those who are young in their faith. That is what Jesus warned against the disciples in Mark chapter 9, verse 42. In short, in order for Christians to grow into true greatness and holiness, each of us need to be purified and sorted with fire so that we can have salt in ourselves. But oftentimes, we don't want to grow into true greatness and holiness to glorify God. We are not willing to be sorted by fire of hardship or suffering. Therefore, a lot of times when hardship or difficulties come, we tend to be scared and want to run away. We tend to complain and we tend to ask God, why me? We tend to ask God to take away the hardship away as soon as possible. If God doesn't do that, do what we expect, we can even grow into anger towards our God. Why we have these mentalities? Because we are not willing to be sorted by fire. Are the above our attitudes towards hardship or difficulties? Anything happened in the last week causing you to avoid or complain to God? Or even a difficult assignment at school? Or a difficult interaction with someone close to you? Hardship and suffering are the reality of life in this fallen world, no matter for non-Christian or Christians. The difference is that for Christians, all hardship and suffering has a purpose. That is for us to be transformed into Christ-like character and to share his glory. Whereas for non-Christian, unless they can know Christ, all hardship and suffering have no meaning and value, because lives can't find any value and real meaning without Christ. Man without Christ can only suffer in vain. However, Christians can also suffer in vain if they are not willing to be salted with fire during the time of hardship or suffering. After the suffering, the spiritual lives haven't grown. They remain in their old self. They suffer in vain. Therefore, it is important for Christians to be willing to be salted with fire. That is to seek God earnestly and trust Him firmly in the fiery trial. Hold on to God and ask Him to teach us through the fire of trial. There was a young mother struggling with raising up her little children. They didn't grow and behave as what she had expected. To her, this was a real trial of fire, to a point that she even nearly became collapsed. She had long-time frustration towards herself and even anger at God. Why God didn't help her and why God didn't answer her prayer to improve her children's situation. Yvonne and myself could only pray for her. But we thank God. She was willing to learn to seek God and hold on to Him. She told me recently, God has shown her how she had replaced God as her God to worship, replaced God with her children. How she made her children subtly to be her idol without knowing. How her insistence to maintain her expectation for her children became her bondage and pain. Praise God. When God shined to her on this, she repented and was then free from the bondage. Her children's situation hasn't changed, but her heart attitude toward God and her children changed. She has now strength to look after her young children with peace. She has grown and has been enlarged through being salted with fire of her recent trial. God knows to what extent a certain trial should last and when it can accomplish God's particular purpose on us through the trial. Through the fire, God can refine our faith to be more precious than gold that perishes. Sometimes the fire might not be a hardship come upon us like the above, a hardship or suffering. It might be an active choice to make for ourselves, to deny ourselves. Sometimes it might be only a choice or a small thing. For example, you choose to follow the Holy Spirit's prompting to wash a big pile of dishes. To free your wife to have a bit of rest even when you feel very tired yourself. Or your mom asks you to vacuum clean the floor and mop it. After all, many guests have left. You just choose to honor and obey her, your mom. These choices of self-denial to serve others' need can also be regarded being salted with fire. Through small or big self-denial for loving God and serving others in humility, God can transform us into His likeness. If we are willing to be salted with fire, the fire can destroy the perishable impurities and perfect, which is unperishable, the genuineness of faith in God. Everyone will be salted with fire. This is the reality of the fallen world. For non-believers who do not have the punishment of sins borne by Jesus on the cross and forgiven by God, they need to face the fire of hell in eternity. For believers, They do not need to face the fire of hell when they die, because we have Jesus down the cross and bear our punishment already. However, we will face fire of hardship and self-denial. The purpose is not for punishment, but for purification. To have our faith strengthened and character be transformed to be like Christ. So let us to face the fire of hardship and self-denial when they come upon us willingly. We face it willingly. And we face it with faith, trusting God in steadfastness. This is how we can have salt. Then Jesus continues saying, at the end of Mark chapter 9, verse 50, being at peace with one another. When Christians have salt in them, they can be at peace with one another. Rather than being jealous with one another's greatness or competing among themselves for greatness, they allow God to transform their selfish ambition of greatness into passion, into service out of love and humility. Just like what Jesus taught the disciple. Because their selfishness and pride was being sorted with fire, they can be peace among them. Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. When a Christian has been salted with fire, not only his life is being purified and be more righteous, he will have a deeper experience with grace. Because in the fire of hardship and self-denial, he knows his weakness. The more he sees his weakness, the more he can appreciate and receive God's grace in humility. Hence, he can find more grace for others. He can have more grace for others. Spiritual saltiness not only comes along with power of preservation, but also power of grace and humility. Because of grace, our speech can give flavor to our conversation. Brothers and sisters, in your conversation with your spouse or children-in-law, do you have flavor of grace? When you talk to your parents, siblings, or parents-in-law, do you have flavor of grace or bitterness? My two brothers live in Canada, where the roads are covered with snow, turned into ice, which can be very dangerous for cars. They told me the Canadian government uses salt to melt the ice on the roads. Each year during the cold season, send a lot of money. When we have grace for others, we can melt the coldness and hardness of hearts. Saltiness can create also thirsty in people. Is our saltiness as a Christian create a desire of people around us to have a thirst to know Jesus Christ, whom we trust and follow? Brother and sister, do we have salt ourselves in our lives? If you are increasing your saltiness in your life, thank God. Keep willing to be salted in our great refiner's gracious hands with his refiner's fire. If you feel you haven't much changed since you became a Christian, let us commit ourselves to God, trust Him, and give Him the liberty to transform us, to purify us in His gracious hands. There was a story about a sister in a big hardship. One day, she had opportunity to visit a silversmith and watch him holding a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. She just sit there to watch. After a while, she asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered, "Yes, I not only had to sit there the whole time holding the silver steadily and carefully on top of the hottest part of the fire in order to refine it. I also had to keep my eyes on the silver the entire time when it was in the fire. It is because if the silver was left a moment too long in the fire, in the flames, the fire would destroy the silver." The woman was silent for quite a while again. Then she asked the silversmith again, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it." The woman reflected on this for a while, and a smile gradually appeared on her face. She seemed to have gained some insight from it. After thanking the silversmith, she rose up and left. If you are in a fiery trial today, yes, it is difficult. God knows it is difficult. Jesus knows, but He said, "Don't fear, trust me. For I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Remember, our God is keeping His wise and loving eyes to watch over us, holding us steadily and securely in His mighty hands. He knows the best time, the timing, the trial can achieve its purpose, to see His transformation work through us to reflect His character. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your love. You even came to be willing to be crucified on the cross in order to save us. And now You called us to follow You. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone in fiery trial today, Lord, we pray that You use Your own words to comfort and encourage them. Lord, we pray that You also give us a desire and trust in You to give You the liberty for Your work to do in our lives so that we can be more like You, so that we can share Your glory and share Your grace with people around us to give You glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.